This week on RSBNB Update, we yak to the shadows with a new yak track and introduce RuneScape's new community manager, Maud Hooley. We then answer the question, is a Chinese fund suing Jagex? Finally, chat filter updates and discussion on Mixer folding into Facebook gaming. This is RSBNB Update, episode 783, recorded Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Hooly who? Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update this week. You know, this week we thought, hey, it's just a yak track week, didn't we, Tanis?
Yep, the old yak track, yakety yak.
We thought it's it was back. Just that. We thought it was just that, but oh no, there's more. And this week just kept coming and giving until, you know, like 12 hours before showtime recording, actually, believe it or not, on this front.
It was a mini little 2020 in a week.
Yeah, it was.
And all that entails.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good way of, it's a good way of looking at it. I think the only thing missing, perhaps, are the riots in RuneScape, but you know, we're not there yet. Yeah. So,
I don't know if the Saharan dust cloud has made it that far yet. I didn't have that on my 2020 bingo card. Gotta say, I did.
I don't think anybody knew what the 2020 bingo card was going to look like. But of course, I am Shane 12088. He is Tanis 79. And we are here to discuss this week's RuneScape updates, including Yak Track. We also have a bit of an update on the sale of Jagex and some potential legal issues that they might be heading to in on that. So definitely brace yourselves for that discussion. We also will, of course, unveil and talk about the new lead community manager who we broke the news on that they had made the hire a few weeks back. We now know his mod name, Maud Hooley, and a couple of other things just to bring it around the block. And then we'll discuss some fun tech news this week. So, starting off, Yak Track, Yak to the Shadows. How did you feel about this one when it first arrived? I mean, it's visually stunning, as always.
Yeah, I mean, less excited, you know, because this is the third one, and I like them. It doesn't, I mean, I guess it's been, what, 3 months, because the last Yak Track came out.
Yeah, that one came out the week after Archaeology.
Okay, so I don't know, like, I'm not as motivated as I was. I guess that's about the only way I can put it.
Yeah, I think
but
we're all
but I enjoyed that.
And, you know, I think that's probably also due to the fact that we don't know what's on the way at this point in time, which we'll discuss on the community management live stream. But this runs from June 22nd, this past Monday, until August 2nd. And, you know, as I mentioned, the rewards are stunning as always, and this thing, you know,
smaller, hopefully a little smaller.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
this
think
Sorosian
so
thing looks absolutely huge. Morrison,
yeah, I'm a little
huge on this.
I haven't seen anybody with them yet, but I was a little worried. I was like, oh, it looks like it might be big.
Oh yeah, and we know how the big familiars and whatnot work in game, and how that goes. But you know, one thing that threw us for a bit of a loop when this thing first came out is that we were under the impression that all of the tasks were completed to 50% if you had got up to task 40 on the last Yak Track, but it's only the first 10. And what do you think of that mechanic, giving people the first 10, 50% already completed if you reached task 40 last time?
I don't think it's as big of a deal as what has been made out of it. That being said, it might be a little generous, I think. I don't have a problem with the mechanic of it, like with the structure of it, but maybe 25%.
Something yeah. like that. And see, we were of two sides of this of the same coin on this one when it first launched, because, you know, take for example myself and Parnassius in chat, we enjoy engaging with the act track content, and, you know, we didn't necessarily want to have this complete to 50%. But on the other hand, you have Sirion, who didn't have the time to push for task 40 last time, and had he known he was going to get this reward and have the first 10 completed to 50%, he would have gone for it, and it would have helped him because he feels he has less time to play the game. So you're in a bit of an odd position here where, you know, you have diehard Yak Track fanatics like myself who don't want this. And, you know, you said even yourself, scale it down to 25%. But then you have people like Sirion who are strapped for time, who could have really benefited from this on the first 10 tasks or so, and would have, you know, enjoyed knowing that this is what he was getting, and maybe he could have pushed for 40 on this.
Yeah.
And a question that came up is, you know, should there be a way, you know, for a couple of bonds to buy 50% progress on 10 tasks?
Well, you already have your skip task.
Yeah, things the skip that come tokens. In through the
bonds, right?
Yeah.
The skip tokens. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't really mess with that. I would just leave it with the skip tokens. And I would look at, you kind of almost have to look at this too as an extra premier reward, because you get your Yak Track with the premier. And if you were engaging in the Yak Track, then you're getting a little bit extra. I just think that that's what I mean. Like, I don't mind the mechanic or the structure of it. Just maybe tone down a little bit.
All right. You know, I think it'd be interesting if they. I don't know what the optimal bond price would be, but I think it'd be a very interesting thing to try out and see if, you know, what they could put forward with it for bonds on that front. So that's something I'd like to see on there. Let's just go through some of the little tasks here before we get too deep into it on this front here. So some of the tasks require you to do clue scrolls now. And a master is worth 5, an elite is worth 4, hard is 3, medium 2, easy 1. So you can, you know, just knock that one off with doing one master clue scroll on there. The archaeology tasks still exist. There's a new one that is to just kill monsters, so you can kill 500 of whatever. This was task 3 as well. I enjoy those new ones. And on the reward side, and, you know, you get lots of great cosmetic rewards for doing this, which I think everybody is aware of at this point. But the rewards that I really wanted to show off is that if you get to task 25 and you have the premium track, you get a skip token. If you get to task 40, you also get a skip token.
So you get two.
Yeah. So that's something that I think that we should, you know, take note of on there and take it all the way home on that. Oh, sorry, it's only at task 25. Task 40 is the same progress boost on the next Yak Track.
Oh, on the next Yak Track.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I mean, you're going to get an extra skip token along the way. I always purchased another set of skip tokens, so I appreciate that. They also added clue scrolls to the rewards as well, which, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have clue scrolls coming out of my ears at this point.
I'll never use them. I mean, they just go in the bank.
You don't do clues.
Go in the bank.
No. Yeah, you don't do clues. So you got the Shadow Magus cosmetic overrides. Let's see, what else do you got? You got the Shadow Magus wand, lots of lamps, dragon trinkets, bonus XP, Shadow Magus orb. And, you know, this, like the last one, a lot of these cosmetic rewards are also on the free track, which, you know, is actually a really good thing when you think about it. Because if you look at most battle passes in, like, Rocket League or Fortnite, their cosmetics are on the paid track. And Jagex put so many of these on the free track that is just really nice to see. Fatesworn Agent K, Fatesworn Throwing Star, the Zerosian Vigil Pet, Moloch the Cuddly, and that's at Task 23 for those who like your plushies. Vindictive Armor Cosmetic Overrides. 750 oddments at Task 30. That's an interesting one.
Wait for sale.
Yeah. Lots of flash sales on there with stars and whatnot. We also got all of the Fatesworn Agent Cosmetic Overrides, a Zerosian Banner, the Shadow Mage's Book, Protean Packs, Herald of the Fate Dagger, and so on and so forth. And these, and you know, these rewards look really good on there. So, you know, overall, I'm pretty happy about this, and I don't know in particular that I have anything else left to say about this one. Some of the tasks, you know, at the end, I assume are going to be grindy like they were last time, but I guess that's kind of to be expected from these battle pass systems on that front.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just wait and see if that's gotten kind of balanced out yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I never thought they seemed that I mean, yes, there some things were grindy, but bitch, I'm from RuneScape. That's what we do.
Yeah, RuneScape's claim to fame is grind.
So, yeah.
And I mean, that's not necessarily a way to defend it. We're just saying that's the way it is, right?
No, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of saying it in jest, but for real, I mean, it didn't seem too bad to me. So I don't think this will be any worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to address the topic of people saying that this is, you know, hey, this is the first real content update since Archaeology and its microtransactions?
Well, yes.
Or should we save that for the live stream? Because I think that's something that we can talk about.
I mean,
in the live
almost,
stream materialize.
Yeah, well, it's intertwined in the live stream. I was trying to, that's what I was pausing. I was trying to think of how do I talk about this without going into the live stream stuff.
Yeah, okay, we'll save it then. Good call. I think we can go on to the patch notes then. Not too much to write home about with Yak Track then. Hopefully you guys enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good content. We like it.
Yeah.
And we'll save the discussion for later on, you know, whether it's the right thing or if it's enough or this or that. Right now, I'm content saying that it's a good update. They always do a good job with it, and it's the same thing this time around.
We can
talk about if it was the right time, you know, later.
And the sole reason of why I enjoy the Yak Track is because it diversifies my gameplay.
Yeah, and see, I think we kind of need that right now because a lot of us are coming off of Archaeology. I mean, I'm throwing myself in there even though I am nowhere near done with it. But I feel like the large majority, like, you know, that band of players are now through Archaeology and they're like, okay, well, what do we do now? And so it's always nice to have a Yak Track or highlighted skilling event. You know what I mean? That kind of helps motivate you and gives you a direction to go in.
Yeah. All right. Also next week, familiar changes for the Ancient Familiars. You'll get 20 scrolls per pouch instead of 10, and you'll get half the amount of XP for converting. And the buy limits of all Archaeology materials will be increased from 1,000 to 5,000. And also changes to the Tier 92 armor. And, you know, you can imagine we'll be having a very deep discussion on all the potential impacts that arise from that and where those came from. And maybe these are some of the player advocacy group ninja fixes based on what that the ninja peg looked like.
You think the ninja peg would recommend a nerf? Well, they would if it was XP and it was to and to get them something. Never mind.
All right. Let's move on to the patch notes then. So starting off, players can now swap Inquisitor staff pieces with Sorin for 10 million coins each. You use this specific piece you wish to trade on Sorin to begin the exchange. So what this means is if you have an Inquisitor staff piece that you don't need or you have the wrong one, go talk to Sorin for, and you give 10 million coins and you'll be able to get the piece that you need. And, you know, this is because many people who are doing archaeology, Iron Men in particular, have got these pieces and they've got duplicates that they don't need. And that's, you know, just kind of a painful thing for them to do. And there is a hot fix on this, by the way.
On the staff?
On this patch note and the 10 million coins.
Really? What was it? Oh, Lord. What were they giving people?
If you closed out of your bank pin interface, because you know you have to enter your bank pin when you do this trade, if you closed out of the bank pin interface, you would be able to do the trade for free. This was only up for a few hours, but it was hot fixed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel sorry for the poor bastard that found that out accidentally. No, guys, seriously, I didn't know.
The special move of the Calgarian Demon now lasts 15 seconds, up from 9.6, and these are the ones that were shrunk down on there.
Yeah.
And these are just the general combat familiars.
Oh, the combat familiar. Yeah, okay. I thought it was the actual Calgarian Demon.
No. This is the combat familiars. And when you use it, it gives you a 5% critical chance buff for 15 seconds.
Okay.
And nearby players in a 7x7 square, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
But, you know, there's so many bosses that you really don't need
accuracy
that.
Accuracy doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would imagine anywhere where you would take a Nihil, you might be able to take this.
Yeah, and then you bring one person with this and away you go.
Yeah.
The Slayer introspection power now works correctly with the Slayer Master Cape as well as Slayer Mass. All right. That's the one that lets you pick the minimum or maximum number to kill. Players who have destroyed or lost a charged Shadow Engrameter can now reclaim one that is already charged from Dr. Nabonek at Caridet, though he will need to destroy any depleted Shadow Engrameters that may have been previously replaced. And this is for a high-level 110 plus Zerosian mystery or relic, I think. I think it's a relic. So we're not there yet.
Nope.
Other changes. Confirmation warnings now appear when attempting to teleport into the wilderness with the Daryak, Anakarl, Garak Ice Plateau, and Tele Group Ice Plateau teleport spells, in addition with other wilderness entry teleports. Good.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't already there.
I appreciate this because when I'm on mobile and I'm doing the farming runs, and I'm now on lunar spells because I completed the Livid Farm a while ago by way of Livid Plant, the icons for Ice Plateau look awfully similar to the icons for Trollheim, and they require the same runes, so they both light up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I'd imagine this is why this was done.
Yeah.
Added blocking to Gower's farm gates, you can no longer walk through it. Pillars in runes nearby to the Pavasaur's Rex can no longer be walked through. And the new version of Masuta's Wind Spear has been changed from a slashing weapon to a stabbing weapon to better match its used counterpart. And the idea being is that when you get a Masuta's War Spear, when you would get it previously, it would be slashing, but then after you'd use it, it would be stabbing. So the one you get as a drop is now stabbing. So it was changing types along the way, which makes sense because all the spears in game, I believe, are stab.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
Yep. Other changes resolved an issue that was causing the player's client to crash and displaying the error. One or more arguments are invalid. 214-748-3651. Users may still experience this error or the error. The instructions add 0x% p referenced memory at 0x% p. The memory could not be %s, C0005. This is a separate issue and will be fixed with an upcoming client update.
Okay. And that happened, thank goodness.
No, and, you know, I think people are going to read this and just go, what? what this basically means is that their game client was referencing memory that it shouldn't have been referencing, hence the 0x% p. And what happens when you're referencing memories, it's done in what's called a pointer, which is effectively an address to where you can find something specific in your computer's RAM. And if you access something that is invalid or you're not supposed to access, you can have crashes that would appear. And I'd imagine that there was some kind of invalid argument being pushed or touched in this case that was causing this error to come up and will be fixed with the client update that went out this week. So that's just a bit of background on what that means. I don't know that they perhaps needed to include all of this minutia in here because it's, you know, quite honestly confusing if you don't know what it means.
I was completely confused.
But. Yeah. Fixed an issue that prevented players from changing their login screen background. Okay, I had that. Good to see that's been fixed. Fixed an issue that was preventing the currency pouch from reopening on login if the player had it open before logout. Huh. Okay. Fascinating. And that's it for the patch notes this week. Pretty small, but I think definitely wholesome still. So that's fine.
A few good ones.
Yeah. All right. So you guys will recall back in May, or was it June? Early June. I think it was back in May. Jagex was sold, and we went deep into the sale and talked about what particular that meant and how it seems as though that there was nothing actually happening and that there was just some shell corporations set up in the U.S. to kind of shelter the Chinese owners and that it might not have actually been sold. And it turns out this past week there was a story that appeared on a website called MMO Fallout that says that in a London court, Jagex is being sued on behalf of China Minsheng Trust Corporation, which alleges that it still owns 45% of the equity of Shanghai Fukong under Chinese laws, thanks to a loan that the China Minsheng Trust issued in 2017, which, of course, would mean that the sale of Jagex, which was at the time Shanghai Fukong's only asset to Platinum Fortune, was faulty and didn't actually happen. And CMT is seeking an order in the form of an attached to enable the proceedings to be brought against the defendant in England and Wales to establish that the SHNT remains the shareholder of the defendant and or rectify the register of the members under Section 125 of the Companies Act of 2006. Boom.
Told you. Right?
Yeah, we knew something was up, and it definitely looks like something is up. You know, this was submitted to the High Court on May 6th, and this was, of course, in relation to MacArthur Fortune purchasing Jagex for $530 million, and they said they made that sale, but with that being said, the China's Minsheng Trust suspects that Jagex's director may have documents, and here's the real clincher, which demonstrate whether or not Platinum Fortune LP, a fund the MacArthur Fortune LP, has acquired the defendant's shares. And there we have it. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way the sale works, and, you know, we went through the Chinese boardroom documents on that, it looked as though it was just a transfer to different companies down the line. And we're going to have to wait and see how this turns out in court, but it looks like we may have been right.
Well, and not just any transfer, a transfer to write off bad debt, which apparently came back.
Yeah.
Because now they're suing for it, right?
And you know, if we were able to find it here at the podcast, of course other people are going to find it when it comes to the creditors.
Yeah. But are they, like, I don't understand why it's Jagex being sued and not the company, not Fucon that sold Jagex. Like, that's blurry to me.
From my sense is that it was the directors of Fucon who were also put in and being directors at Jagex. They would have had the documents to show how that sale went. And that's why they're going after Jagex, because then they can get to the directors who might have these documents. That's why they're going after Jagex and not Platinum or MacArthur or Fucon.
Right, but that puts Jagex on the hook for compensation, correct?
Uh-huh.
So how are they supposed to come up with all that kind of money? They could go bankrupt if this goes south.
Yep. Because we're looking at, the idea is that it's an unpaid 93 million euro or $103 million U.S. loan. Which, with that amount of money, and, you know, if MacArthur and Platinum decide to push this down the road and use Jagex for this, I mean, I think last year's profits were around, I think, 53 million pounds, I believe, which is about close to 100 million, I think. We'll have to wait and see what this year's profits are. A new yearly report is due soon. But this is substantial if this were to come back and, you know, hurt Jagex in any way, because they're suing one of their directors, former or otherwise. So we don't have any further information.
So Jagex would be responsible to pay.
I think so, yeah. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if anybody out there is listening and has a better interpretation of this. Please do let us know on that. And this kind of just leaves a bit of a lump in the stomach, so to speak, because, you know, we knew this was a possibility going forward on this, but we didn't think it would come to an end so soon.
Honestly, I thought this was like the shady stuff that goes on every day on Wall Street. No one bats an eye.
Yeah.
I didn't foresee a lawsuit coming out of that. I mean, I was kind of taken aback.
Well, there's one thing to know is that, you know, when you're operating in China, most of the companies, the big companies that operate in China, and Fucon is one of them, owned by their mining company, have close ties to the Chinese Communist Party. And, you know, with that, you can say what you want about China, but if you are conducting business that is deemed shady by the Chinese government, you're forced to pay. And from the looks of it, this Chinese asset manager, and if you're an asset manager in China, you are, of course, the way Chinese corporations work, you're ultimately accountable to the Chinese government. So you want to make sure that everybody who has gotten money from you is going to pay up. So you can kind of see the writing on the wall of where this is going with this. And, you know, it kind of makes sense as to why Jagex really couldn't say much about the sale, aside from the fact, hey, yeah, we're sold.
Are we going to be crowdfunding freaking Jagex?
Well, it's a question. It's a question of, would you want to crowdfund for this lawsuit, or would you want to crowdfund to buy the company?
Well, that, no, that's what I'm saying. We're going to have to buy the company.
Yeah, you know, the number of players I've seen talking about that of, you know, turning it into a public company and whatnot. But first, before you do that, you would need to presumably find enough money to make the ballpark price anywhere from probably 250 to 550 million based on how you do the valuation. And then you would have to buy the company, and then you would have to take it public and issue shares and all that. So you'd need somebody, you know, who knew what they were doing business-wise and, you know, actually wanted to take it in that direction on that front. So.
Yeah, I mean, this made me a little, you know, when I was reading those documents this week, I thought, I've heard so many times, I mean, literally probably within a month of playing this game, I would hear people be like, RuneScape's dead, it's dying, oh man, it's over. And you hear it repeatedly, right? Every couple months, every couple years, whatever.
Whatever, there's no update.
I never pay any attention to it, but when I read this, I was a little worried.
Oh yeah, because you know we're not talking pocket cash for Jagex here.
No, and I've seen so many.
Because if the loan is 103 million US, there's going to be fines on top of that.
Well, and I've seen way too many companies that were profitable companies go bankrupt because of crap like that.
Yep.
Like, look at Toys R Us. There's no Toys R Us anymore. It's not because of Amazon. It's a damn equity firm.
Yeah.
Like, like, this stuff happens. This is real. Like, if there was a time to kind of be, you know, apprehensive, I'm being very cautious because, you know, I don't know. I don't know how likely.
Lawyers.
Right. And I don't know how likely is a Chinese company to do in a UK court? I don't know. I mean, the U.S., it pretty much just depends on how much money you have for a lawyer.
Right.
Like, whoever can pay the most wins. I don't know if it's like that in the U.K. or not.
Just some clarification on this. Section 125 of this Companies Act from 2006 is the power of court to rectify register, which means that if the name of any person is without sufficient cause entered or omitted from a company's members, register of members, or default is made, or unnecessary delay takes place on the register, the fact of any person having ceased to be a member, the person aggrieved or any member of the company may apply to the court for rectification. May apply for rectification of the register, and the court may refuse the application or my order the rectification, the register, and payment by the company of any damages sustained by the party aggrieved. Which means, of course, is that if they are successful in pursuing damages of this director, it would be Jagex that would have to pay.
Meanwhile, he probably gets to run out the back with the money, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's typical. That that's typical. You know, it's white collar crime, but there's no penalty for it and whatnot, right? In this case,
they get their golden parachute.
And on such an application, the court may decide any question relating to the title of person who is a party to the application to have his name entered or omitted from the register, whether the question arises between members or alleged members, or between members or alleged members on one hand and the company on the other hand, and generally may decide any question necessary or expedient to be decided for the rectification of the register. So that's really not the one that we're talking about here. And point number four is that in the case of any company required by this act to send a list of its members to the registrar of companies, the court, when making order for the rectification of the register, shall by its direct notice of the rectification be given to the register. So effectively what we're looking at here is point two on this and what the court is probably arguing against. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that's plain enough language to see what exactly is happening with this. So fingers crossed on this front as we move forward. All right. Speaking of moving forward, new community manager, Maud Hooley, yeah. Who we broke the news, was hired as the lead community manager a few weeks back, previously from the Gears of War franchise and Call of Duty, also a little bit of Batman Arkham Knight, had his introduction on the live stream this week with Mods Porky and JD, because there was no general Q&A this week because there was something that happened. I guess you could say it might be in relation to the timing or maybe the announcements that they wanted to make but weren't able to on this.
They're being sued.
You never know.
Maybe.
You never know. They just said that things weren't able to line up for this, so we don't know whether it was timing or we don't know if it was announcement-based. We literally don't know anything at this point on this. So
no, we only know that
we were hoping something would come out of this, but we got more of the same.
No, and it happened twice. I think that was the real rub, because we were expecting Tuesday, and they said, okay, not going to be today. We're going to have to switch it around. It's going to be Thursday. And then Thursday, we all show up. We're like, okay. And they're like, hey, it's not Hooley. We're like, hey, what about our Q&A? Well, about that, guys. No.
No.
And that was disappointing.
And, you know, this is a point where we need to just have this frank discussion. And, you know, you and I were saying that, you know, this is a discussion that probably should have started to have been had at the start of the month. But, you know, we didn't because we were busy with our archaeology lore and the anniversary of the podcast. What happens next? That needs to be answered.
Yeah. We would like to at least have – I mean, I don't think we need like a roadmap, but we need some goals that they're trying to reach. That being said, I think we saw some clues in the live stream itself that may not be telling us quite that much about the content that's coming, but definitely a change in strategy on Jagex's part about telling us and the releasing.
And I think we just need to be 100% honest with this and say, and, you know, this is a question that should be asked to Maud Warden on the next stream, and, you know, I'll try and get that in there. I don't know if they're still taking questions for it. But the question is as follows. Is RuneScape moving back to an expansions-type model? Or if you don't want to call it expansions, are we looking to a model where we're going to see headlining updates every 2 to 3 months or so? Filled in with Ninja Fixes, and if we are, let's be honest about that.
Yeah, let's just... I feel like it's time to go, you know, you kind of got to pick a lane and go with it. There's so much goodwill and stuff from archaeology. I'm so afraid that it's just rotting on the vine right now. And I just hate to see that because, man, archaeology was such a hit that just look. The game is becoming a modern MMO. I know we've been saying that for a long time, but it really is. And I'm sorry, but our nostalgic look at weekly updates the way they had always had been is not feasible.
And it's what you're effectively getting at is that it's going to look more like Elder Scrolls Online or Star Trek Online. Where you're going to have a major content update every 2 to 3 months that is going to provide the content for you to play through in that time. And in the interim, you'll be, you know, on RuneScape's sense, filled in by Ninja Fixes and live events.
And I mean, and we are lucky when it comes to like our ninja, like the ninja strikes are pretty significant quality of life, like updates. And you don't necessarily get that all the time in those other MMOs.
Oh, no.
So we're not doing that bad. It's just, do you want the modern RuneScape or, you know, something less? Because I'm not someone that likes to say things are impossible or that they can't do something, but they can't. They can't do a weekly update like that. You can do that when it's like fetch. No, you can't. I don't even know if you can do it for fetch quests. Whatever they did back in 2005. What? I mean, you were around, Shane. What was that?
Like,
it's different now.
Yeah, they were quests that really weren't part of a grander storyline, except for a few of them. And if they were, they really weren't tied in until the second or third quest. You know, you had innocuous ones like Recruitment Drive and Not Dishonor Among Thieves, the one where you blow up the vase on Lumbridge. I forget the name of that one, but that led to more and even led to the Elder Gods down the road. And, you know, they effectively started small and they morphed into things over time. Like, who knew that, you know, going into the Mauritania area would effectively lead to, you know, River of Blood and the Myrek series. It was storytelling done over time, and they were just done piecemeal, small individual quests that stood on their own and formed the greater part of the whole. And then you had other things that, you know, and, you know, you really can't add these in this day and age unless you really, really think out of the box. You know, you had clue scrolls, you had barrows, you had the achievement diaries, and so on and so forth. And, you know, these are all things that you get in a growing game. And the question is, what do you do for that in this day and age? Or do you remaster existing content that is already there that players have come to expect and want to, you know, have the 2020 lens on?
Well, right. And now think about, like, so all that content that you were just talking about, like, it's not, they wouldn't be capable of producing that content with the kind of polish and expectations that we have now. Like, we, you know, there's some people that are still in the mindset of that, but they still have that mindset while having the greater expectations of the modern game. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
That when the rubber meets the road, you can't, those things don't work out.
Yeah. And you know, that's actually what I want to talk about. One of the things that came out from this live stream. So it starts off and Mod JD says he's going to be doing more work with social media and coordinating with the community management team. But Mod Hooley says that he wants to see how he can bring players closer to the dev team and show how the dev team works and set expectations in the sense that he's giving a clear indication of communications around releases and content, but also directly from the community management team themselves. And what everybody should take away from this to have a positive vision of what's going to happen going forward is that setting expectations, as mentioned by Mod Hooley, because you and I've talked about many times in the past that if you're not setting expectations, you're setting yourself up for failure. And
that's
when you do that, that's part of managing the community. If you can set the expectations, march with the community, and deliver, you're going to be in a far better position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
And with that, you know, as much as it pains people to hear, the next step that has to come out of this is that there needs to be a discussion of, you know, like you said, we don't need a roadmap. We just need to know what's next.
Yeah. I mean, we need to have some, people need to know what to expect so that then you can talk about, okay, well, we know this is coming. This is what we're expecting. Now let's kind of manage our expectations around that content. What should we expect from the content? What shouldn't we expect from the content? And that's really important with our community in particular, because I feel like, yes, he's worked in you know, some pretty vibrant communities before, but RuneScape is a little bit different, as in we have thousands and hundreds of thousands of armchair developers and quarterbacks in this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody is sitting back. We all think we have the answer. If they just listen to me, you know what I mean? And so it's different. And you see that difference on social media and stuff, because sometimes people can talk intelligently about, you know, an update or an update they are hoping to get. And that's great. But a lot of times you also just see the, like I said, that Monday morning quarterbacking. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's going to be an adjustment for the new CM.
Yeah. And I mean, if he can deliver on that, that'll be a good mark for success. And, you know, one thing I've also telegraphed is that there needs to be a tighter coordination between community management, between social media, and between PR.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, people might not like hearing this, and, you know, this is the truth on this, is that oftentimes the community managers in game communities, I'm not talking about RS, but I'm talking about other communities. And, you know, I think I can count one or two times RS did this. They just get completely blindsided by the community reaction on this. And I've said this, that the best way to go about this and looking at this from our perspective here of what works is you need to treat it like a press secretary kind of role, where you're bringing in the spin where necessary to manage the expectations, but at the same time, you're answering the questions that are asked when they're good questions. And, you know, I don't want to say this and come off in the wrong way, but sometimes you need to be a little bit harsh in terms of the way you're doing it. And what I mean by that is that it needs to be a situation where you effectively just mod jack them and tell them the truth.
Well, I think you can tell them I think you can tell people the truth, though, in an explanatory way.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think that is some of, like, sometimes.
And that's probably what I'm getting at.
Right. And because, I mean, look, sometimes when developers are on the couch, like, we know that these are tech guys, right? And so, like, when things come off or might sound cold, I kind of take that with a grain of salt, because I kind of expect that, you know, with the field sometimes. But I'm not sure that's what you want your CM to do, right?
Exactly.
You want them to do the same thing, but in a nice way.
And that's why you got to bring the press secretary side of it to it, where you're working with social media and CM. So you're saying things in specific ways and using very specific language. And we'll see if they're able to do that. But that would be my tip for him. And I think why people shouldn't write him off just yet. And he definitely needs to have a chance from everyone on this.
I mean, I hope so, because when you think about it, like, that position is almost kind of like the rudder, right? And the ship's, like, it's going to help turn the ship around. And I think there's change a-coming. So, yeah, I'm real hopeful, because there's going to be a lot of change for this guy to manage, I think, in the, you know, the near future.
Indeed, indeed. Also on the live stream, they talked about his history with RuneScape. He started in 2003, played until 2006, and kept popping in every so often. But in the early part of 2019, he hit a stride with the game again, doing lots of quests, PVM, skilling. He says he plays 4 to 5 hours a night currently.
Oh, I know.
His least favorite thing is that with the game is that there's a huge learning gap. So if you leave the game for a while, it's hard to get back into. And they're aware of that internally with RuneScape. And if you could change one thing with it, what would it be? He said creating community or holiday events where people could jump in together, share the experience, and remember it. Kind of like what happened with the launch of Archaeology. And he'll
be looking spot on there.
Yeah, you know, that's what we've been asking for Christmas events for quite some time. So That is Mod Hooley. So let's give him all a big welcome. And everybody out there, and I know there's lots of you guys out there who are very critical of the community management side of Jagex. Let's just give the new guy a chance. See what happens. All right. We have two World Cup of Quests update this week. First one is Sliske's Endgame versus the Chosen Commander. This one started on the 20th and ended on Tuesday. Sliske's Endgame wins 70.5% to the Chosen Commander's 29.5%.
Oh, Vanek goes down. Vanek goes down.
Then the second one of the first round of the quarterfinals of Wel'Gothic Sleeps versus Ritual of the Majorat. Wel'Gothic Sleeps is winning 60.3 to 39.7.
Wow.
I voted Ritual of the Majorat.
Yeah, well, that's a better quest.
Yeah.
Oh no, watch the ire.
I don't know. I don't know what people see about Wel'Gothic Sleeps. It was more of a culmination, whereas Ritual of the Majorat kind of laid more of a groundwork.
I don't know, but Mitch, Ritual of the Majorat kept me entertained, whereas Wel'Gothic Sleep just felt like the longest quest.
Oh, it was the first Grandmaster.
I know. I don't know. I just wasn't as engaged as I was for the Ritual. That was an awesome quest. It was fun. And Glakers? Oh, man. Well, that's the thing. Like, you had to do that.
Yeah.
That quest for those, right? So, I mean, you had a reason and all this. I guess, well, Gothic Sleep did have TDs, but, what would you rather do, Glakers or TDs? I mean, come on, right?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. One day left. I think it's safe to say, well, Gothic Sleeps has this one in the bag.
I don't know. Unless it pulls a booker. Watch out.
There's also a bit of an update on the account security emails we talked about last week. What they said is that we're aware there's been some concern about players receiving unsolicited password recovery requests. And after reviewing the data, there were a large number of requests made to the account recovery service, but they don't believe any accounts have been compromised. If you received one of these emails, you could safely ignore it. And then they just include a bit of a reminder to enable two-factor authentication. Check the website haveibeenpwned.com to see if your email address has been impacted by any security breach. And while we believe your account remains secure, we know unsolicited recovery emails dropping into your inbox are never a welcome sight. They've identified some additional measures they can take to make sure future at-scale attacks are less likely to trigger recovery emails, and the tech team will be tackling those soon. So there's really not much information in here, is there?
Yeah, no, not really. So I guess what we can gather is it was an attack, and their system did respond?
Yep.
And they don't think anyone was compromised.
Yeah, that's the sense I'd get to. So, all right. Let us move on then. Before we
shout authenticator,
turn that authenticator on before we move on to our Patreon supporters. They put out a community safety update this week, and they say the safety of our community is of paramount importance. We strive to create safe spaces where our community can enjoy our games without fear of abuse, and everybody within the community is expected to abide by our code of content. Content creators who breach our code of conduct are not welcome in our game, at our events, or in our community. We will take resolute action against those who do. We will do our utmost to support anyone who has faced abuse. And, you know, in a case where there's abuse going on, you don't necessarily say who it was. But my sense is that this was probably somewhere in the streaming community. If I had to take a guess.
I mean, yeah. But, you know, sometimes, like, it's not hard for people to get caught up and not even realize that they've done something wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
In some cases, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff changes fast sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the same thing that we always like to say and what we have done since day one at RSBNB is anybody who is abusive is removed from the community. And, you know, for various reasons, whether it be trolling other people, posting people's personal information, we even had that once upon a time. Yeah, you know, we removed that. And it's a no-brainer that something like that needs to happen on that front. So I'm glad they put that message out. And also on the same day, they put out a message in relation to the chat filter improvements in relation to this, I would imagine, I think. I don't know if they're linked, but they say that with themselves showing support on social media and raising money as well on June 5th as they did with their statement on the Black Lives Matter movement, and also committing to diversity and inclusion also means looking inwards at the systems that make it difficult for marginalized players to enjoy our games. While our statement and charitable donations were welcomed, many of you rightly held us accountable for not doing enough to tackle the racism and toxicity that people still experience in game. And as a part of the commitment to ensuring Gilanor is an inclusive and representative place to be, they're making some changes to the in-game profanity filter. And these changes are already live as you guys are hearing this. So in February 2011, they let people turn it off completely. And they did this because, as an automated filter, some players felt it got in the way of a regular conversation. And they had hoped that this choice would give players the opportunity to more freely express themselves. So, with this, they're going to be hard filtering a number of hateful words and phrases, and this means that some words will be censored of whether or not the profanity filter is toggled on and off. These banned words and phrases have no place within Gilanor, and there's not a time or place we would need to have them be said. I personally have no idea what's on this expanded filter, but I welcome this.
Yeah, I mean, how would you know unless there's a list where you're going to
Yeah, and I don't think you want to make that list public.
Well, and here's the thing, like, I don't even know what the words would be now.
Right.
Like, I'm two generations past what people probably call each other nowadays. Like, I don't know. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
And but it's good, you know, we don't need toxicity, although if you turn your profanity filter off, it seems like you're kind of making that decision, but
yeah, and, you know, that's a topic that is one of personal preference. But I want to actually address two things about this. The first one is that, you know, the chat is one thing, and I get that. That's something they can definitely do. But what about the usernames? You know, I've seen usernames that are absolutely objectionable. I'm not going to say them on the podcast here, but one of the ones that came by with the HSR broadcast earlier in the week, it set off people in Clan Quest using that exact same word that was in this person's username. And, you know, we strive to make the chat a family-friendly area, but if name broadcasts are coming across of names that are inappropriate, like, what does that say? Why are we moderating something that comes across the in-game broadcasts with a name that is absolutely horrible? That makes no sense to me. So, the chat filter is step one, but I'd also like to see a crackdown on these names, too.
I don't know it. I guess I'm unaware of the name. But
yeah, I didn't.
Sometimes I find them amusing, sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, you can find them amusing and whatnot, but this one's definitely one that you wouldn't have wanted in a family-friendly game.
So why wouldn't there be more of a a filter.
I have no idea. I have no idea on that. And that's something I think would be interesting to talk about. Now, the second thing on this that I wanted to bring forward is that many people seem to believe that RuneScape 3 is this walled garden of paradise. And it's old school where all the raunchy business happens. But I have a prediction that I think some people aren't going to like. It's my prediction that within the next year to 18 months, RS3 is going to become as rough around the edges in terms of, you know, the way the community interacts with each other as old school will.
And why do you think that?
It's just something I see happening on the front lines, as you would say. I see it happening more in clan chat. I see it happening more on RuneScape Twitter. And that's also where I get some of these names that I'm like, okay, why is this allowed? And, you know, there's just, it seems to be that cohort of the game discussing that kind of thing. So,
well, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. There's always been some, and we go through ebbs and tides with it.
And, you know, I don't know exactly what the situation is on old school, but the marker I make is that assuming old school stays as it is now and RS continues down the path, RS3 would continue to meet that in a year to 18 months from now, I say. And, you know, I think it's a wake-up call that this kind of thing is happening, and that's why I think this profanity filter is a good step forward on that. And, you know, the one word of caution I will say with this, and it's like, as you said, it needs to be done in a way that is thoughtful and applied to things that are universally seen as racist, I'll say. Or yes. Homophobic, or whichever wheelhouse the profanity fits into.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I are both aware of how often in this day and age someone just screams racism for the hell of it.
Oh, well, just for a reaction.
Exactly. I mean,
it's just done for a reaction.
Yeah. And, you know, that's also something I have to say, is that if you're going to call someone a racist, it had better darn well be for a good reason. And I don't know what the word list is, and that's kind of like, I'd like to see, you know, how far down the rabbit hole some of these players were getting on this and what was on here and at it.
Well, go to a portable world.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
Hang out, Shane. And you will see everything that's that was on the filter.
All right.
That is on the filter. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good to me. We're going to move on to tech news and talk about a big thing for the streaming world. But before we do that, I'll just take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters for the week, or for the month, rather. This week, I'd like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, CGB900, Christian S., Diana, Duramax, a new arrival, welcome aboard, Jade Gizmo, JW, James W., Jason S., Joe M., John P., Kyle, Mr. Ling, Nora, Our Memories, Rastafa, Ricky A., Rippeth, Samantha R., another new subscriber, welcome, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V., Zant, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us, and we couldn't do here what we do without you. So if you're wondering what this is all about, just head over to patreon.com/RSBNB, and there you can sign up for as little as $1 a month, gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, you're in access into voting for the monthly bits and movie night. I just published the third part in our Legends monthly bit with Earth, so give that a listen to. Also, we have a poll up for our next monthly bit, which will be released at the start of July. And, you know, we had a good discussion about what to put on here, didn't we? Eh?
We did. Yeah.
Player input through the ages, RuneScape's graphical identity through the ages, and how old school came to be. So if you want to vote in that, or you want to gain access to the back catalog of monthly bits, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. We also have a VIP tier for $3 a month, where you'll get a special VIP rank and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month. And we also do have the ultimate tier, the Insider, where you get a shout out each and every week on the podcast and exclusive access to the outtakes that we do and use for the clip show at the end of the year. So we do all of that, the monthly bit, the inside update, the round table. Date will be coming soon on that. We just need to figure out what's happening on the 4th of July following that. And, of course, movie night, which is happening this coming Monday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll have a link to the Discord and the time for that on the Patreon at patreon.com/rsbnb. But, Tanis, maybe you can tell the listeners what we're going to be watching this month.
I can't wait. This is one of my favorite movies growing up. I actually went to the movie theater to see it, but we're going to be watching a little movie called Rocky IV, which is my favorite Rocky of all time, where he faces the Russian machine Ivan Drago. And it's just a classic movie, man. It's, you know, it's good stuff. I mean, if you like Rocky, and I mean, who doesn't like Rocky? I mean, come on, it's Rocky.
I've never seen one, so I'll take your word for it.
Seriously?
Nope.
Ah, Shane, you'll never be the same. So this is the underdog story, man, you know? Like,
and Cold War, man. Right?
And there are definitely Cold War imagery and references. This was before the wall came down, when there was still a Soviet Union. Yeah. It'll be quite the throwback to see that flag and all that.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. You know, there's something about movies from that era that I think don't come again, so this will probably be one of those. So all of this and more at patreon.com/rsbnb, and thank you for everybody who is supporting us this month.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right. Oh, boy, this next tech news was a bombshell.
Bombshell
for everyone.
Here goes.
In a post on the Mixer blog, of course, Mixer is a Twitch streaming competitor owned by Microsoft. It's entitled "The Next Steps for Mixer," because Mixer is being absorbed into Facebook Gaming. Yeah. Start on July 22nd. The switchover will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mixer, I think, was the biggest competitor Twitch ever faced, and it was its own unique platform. And, you know, there's just something about Facebook, I think, right?
Well, Mixer was where streamers went that got thrown off Twitch.
Yeah.
Until they decided to try to put up a bunch of money and compete, but did they?
Well,
did they ever really?
Didn't they buy those two off who moved over? What were their names again?
Ninja and Shroud, but their audiences, I mean, yes, they still had a sizable audience, but it was nothing compared to what they had on Twitch. So it never materialized, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they
say, obviously it's going under.
They say this is a key part of the broader effort that Xbox and Facebook Gaming are embarking on. They obviously feel that Facebook is a bigger platform and it can, you know, push it out forward to that many more people on that front. And they say for Facebook Gaming's creator, this brings the ability to partner closely with the Xbox ecosystem, including future opportunities around Xbox Game Pass, Project xCloud, and more. Facebook Gaming is making it easy for anyone in the Mixer community to join. Mixer partners will be granted partner status with Facebook Gaming. Streamers participating in Mixer's open monetization platform will be granted eligibility for the Facebook Gaming Level Up program, as they call it. At Facebook, are at fb.gg/mixer. Mixer viewers can connect their Mixer account, and Facebook Gaming will show the Facebook pages for all the available Mixer channels you follow so that you can easily follow them on Facebook. So this means using Facebook.
Yeah, that's what that means. I mean, and I guess they're probably doing that because, you know, Twitch, if you're not watching Twitch, then it's probably YouTube gaming, right? YouTube streaming. Yeah. That's the other big streaming platform and video platform. So the only one left was really was Facebook, but boy, I wouldn't want to dance with them.
No.
I wouldn't want to hitch my wagon to
them. And see, this is the thing. You're at this point where you're dealing with this platform that was seemingly independent of Twitch and on its own and had very little influence from Microsoft. And now they're getting absorbed by this big Facebook company. And, you know, that completely blindsides anyone who used Mixer as their primary streaming platform. And,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be having a lot of questions about how this is going to roll over. You know, if you're making a living with Mixer, are you going to be able to do the same with Facebook? Are you going to be able to bring all your fans over? Because, you know, Facebook has a stigma, and we talk about that stigma often here.
Mm-hmm. They would have been more, like, it would have been more successful if they, like, if this came out on TikTok or something, right? That's a demographic that would be watching gaming streams, not Facebook, not your grandma on Facebook. Like,
you think Facebook's trying to find a way to get people back?
Maybe, but I don't
because think you know it's the middle-aged people who are using Facebook in this day and age.
Yeah.
So, all Mixer viewers are encouraged to spend the remaining Embers and Sparks to help your favorite Mixer partners and streamers. Mixer partners will receive double payment for all of their earnings in the month of June, so your support of Embers, Sparks, and channel subscriptions will go even further during the rest of the month. Viewers with outstanding Ember balances, channel subscriptions, or Mixer Pro will receive an Xbox gift card as a thank you for their engagement with the platform. And the Mixer service will continue to run through July 22nd. After that, Mixer.com will redirect to Facebook.gg.
But Ninja made out like a bandit.
Yeah, these people who, you know, received their payout for coming to Mixer. Yeah, hey, we did this. Ooh, okay,
yeah, maybe they tried to pay him double, dude. They're going to pay him double. $60 million. He's like, yeah, I'll take 30. Screw off. See ya. I'm out. Which, I mean, yeah, totally. Why wouldn't you do that? Take 30 million cash and be a free agent? Mm-hmm. I'll take that, please.
If you are hosting your past streams or video on demand files on Mixer, you'll need to submit a written request if you want to get access to them after July 22nd. And, you know, as we said, the biggest question is for the Mixer partners and people who use this as a platform. So.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand Microsoft and their strategies. Like, they went out, they spent all these money on these big, huge streamers. They had their own platform. Why weren't they having these guys playing their games, promoting their stuff?
Yeah.
Doing Xbox Live, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, like an indie or someone who's just starting out will have no problem using Facebook Gaming if they want to. But right. For anybody else who, you know, used Mixer for the sake it was Mixer and not Twitch, you're going to have a deeper discussion on that. So,
those people damn sure ain't going to Facebook.
No.
You know, they're like,
Here's the real clincher. Will I still be able to stream from my Xbox One? Mixer support is, of course, built into the Xbox, and they say after July 22nd, we'll turn off the ability to stream from Mixer from your Xbox One, naturally. You can continue to stream your gameplay from the Xbox One using the Twitch app. And you ready for this next one?
Uh-huh.
or by connecting to a PC and streaming via such software as OBS or XSplit.
Oh, well, that function just went kaput. PlayStation 5 once again.
It was nice while it lasted, Mixer.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Mixer had a better back-end tech than Twitch. They use the same technology Discord uses called WebRTC, which allows for low-latency streaming. So if you watch a Twitch stream and you watch a Mixer stream, you'll notice that the Mixer stream has much lower latency.
Okay.
So it was a better technology, too. I don't know. I think if I was streaming in this day and age, I'd just go with Twitch, honestly. Which,
yeah.
Which here we are. Here we are again. Another huge tech monopoly.
Yeah.
And
it's so different too, because like Twitch used to be gaming, and I don't think a Twitch is just gaming anymore. And that actually makes me sad. Yeah. I liked it better when it was with, you know, pretty much just gaming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't really get into watching people, I don't know, walk around town or go to the gym.
No. No. And there's better platforms for that, like Periscope.
Right. Yeah.
So. Well, all our thoughts are indeed with anybody who was streaming on Mixer, because this is a huge one. Huge one.
Yeah, I hope you got paid, man. Hope you got paid.
All right. Next piece of news, Apple had their developers conference this week, and it was all virtual, of course, from the way the virus is thrown into question everything about life. And we got new announcements for iOS 14, iPadOS, macOS, Big Sur, and something called Apple Silicon. But let's start with iOS 14. You know, this is an entirely new home experience for the iPhone. They're bringing widgets forward. So if you want to, for example, you'll be able to have, at a glance, your calendar on your home screen, or your weather, or a clock, some stocks maybe, news, music control. Android has had this for years, but it's just basically a way of interacting with apps from your home screen without needing to actually open them up. It looks absolutely amazing. I do have to say so myself on that front. But what stood out for you the most with iOS 14?
Accessibility features, the new ones coming. I was loving every feature I was reading about was exciting. They're bringing some gestures that you can tap the back of it, which is really nice. So you could just I think that it talked about the magnifier and the voiceover.
Yeah, so you tap the back and it would open magnifier.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, that's really, really cool.
And that's why you're still on iOS, really is helpful. The accessibility.
It is, yeah. That's why I've yet to get a tablet. I was going to look into something else, but it's just accessibility. It's too good, and I'm too used to it at this point, too. Like, works.
One of the amazing features of the iPad is that, if you have the Apple Pencil, you'll just be able to write into your Safari URL bar if you wanted to do that. So if you wanted to go to rsbnb.com in Safari, you'd just be able to use your pencil and write into the address bar and it would do it, or write into the search and it would do it.
Wow.
Of course, with Apple Pencil required. Other accessibility changes. Text recognition, VoiceOver will now speak the text, Tanis, if it identifies it in an image or a photo. So in theory, you can take a picture of something and it will read it to you.
That's going to be really, really cool. And I saw some improvements with that the last go-around. Because remember me telling you, like, if now if I had touched a picture, it would describe it sometimes.
Right.
So I'm thinking like it's just taken that a lot farther.
Yeah. Screen recognition detects interface controls to aid in navigating your apps, making them more accessible. And, you know, they already did this to a degree, but I think this is taking it one step further.
Yeah, no, it's, that's a good, like I said, I'm excited about all of these.
Yeah. The one I'm most excited about didn't make it into the presentation is that you'll now be able to set a default web browser and email client.
That is really nice because, yeah, we know how
we've
that
talked
is, right?
about this so many times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, I think they had to with the antitrust stuff that's going on.
Oh yeah.
Because even HomePod, yeah. their speaker system, will now actually be able to play directly from Spotify.
Okay.
So I think this is kind of a way to ward off the antitrust dragons, as if it were. You'll be able to do web searches from the search screen on your device as well, rather than needing to go into Safari with that. But yeah, so I think for me it's the widgets and the web browser and email client defaults. And for you, you know, it seems like every year we talk about this, it's just accessibility for you.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah,
but,
that makes sense, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying it's a good thing, and it makes sense.
Well, they just – and they are really good at it. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. They are really good at it, and every year it's improved. And like you understand, guys, like stuff that we just talked about with like tabs and stuff – that used to cost hundreds of dollars in software for my computer and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's a really big improvement. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned in pre-show you were getting an iPad, and
yeah,
you know,
I'm excited about that.
iPad Pro, those are pretty much laptop replacements in this day and age. So you could effectively have all these iOS accessibility features that you love on something that is a laptop.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. I mean, it will still probably be a week or so in the mail, but I can't wait. Well, and my glasses, see, my glasses can plug directly into an iPad. It can just HDMI plug in, so I can use an iPad to like watch Netflix or whatever, but it'll be on my eSight glasses. So there's so much cool stuff coming out of this, of finally being able to get a proper tablet, you know, an Apple tablet.
Yeah. And one of the things about this version of iPad OS is it's starting to look a lot more like Mac OS, which is actually really interesting on there. So this is the direction they're going. They're just slowly bringing forward iPad OS and Mac OS. And, you know, people are probably not really caring that much about the Mac OS side, but that also was announced this week, the next version of Mac OS called Big Sur. And it's not a version of Mac OS 10 anymore, folks. It's Mac OS 11. Yeah. We've been on Mac OS 10 since 2001. We're on 10.15 right now. The next version is going to be Mac OS 11.
It's been around since 01?
Yep.
Holy cow.
And the reason they're calling it Mac OS 11 is that this is the biggest redesign of the OS since 2001, and it just brings it a tiny, tiny bit closer to looking like iOS, while still maintaining all of the desktop features that everybody knows and loves on there. So lots of big changes for Mac OS Big Sur, including new changes to Safari. And one of the big ones with this is that it's actually going to support the Web Extensions API, which is the same API that Firefox and Chrome uses to build their extensions. So now, in theory,
Chrome extensions
will work on Safari.
Ooh, I could get all my...
But this is only for the Mac.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. This is only for the Mac.
Okay, that's right. Mac OS.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
new versions of messages and maps that were rebuilt using the same technology called Catalyst that effectively allows them to bring iPad apps to the Mac. A revamped notification center, and they brought Control Center, which anybody who uses iOS knows all about. And Safari is actually looking like it's going to become a customizable browser now and allow a little bit of user customization into it, which for anybody who knows Safari will know that you really don't have much customization in Safari in this day and age. So I think with that and combined with the new web extensions and if the some of the extensions like uBlock and whatnot make their way over, it might actually be worth looking at Safari on that front. But that wasn't the biggest news of their announcement. They also announced something called the move to Apple Silicon, which is their move away from Intel chips for the Macs to their own in-house built chips based on the ARM architecture, which is the same architecture that the iPhones and iPads use. And the idea behind this, they say, is that they'll be able to squeeze even more performance out of the Macs by lowering the amount of power that they use and tailoring the chip specifically for their hardware. And the idea behind this is that, you know, we saw this with the most recent iPad Pro. The iPad Pro that is out and about right now on the market outperforms the entry-line MacBook, which says all you need to know on this. That modern-day iPad chips are competing with the desktop, and Apple feels they can take it further, and they're going to do this for their entire Mac product line. And they say the transition will take 2 years, and it's going to start this fall.
Curious to see how that turns out. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I'm actually really interested to see what happens with this because, you know, so much of what we use the Mac for here at Update is related to the audio processing on that. And, you know, they say that they're going to have their own, you know, audio processor in these chips, and we'll just have to see how it performs compared to what we're used to and whatnot. But everything, including, you know, the neural engine that they use for their camera processing, that will be included with it. Their storage controllers that they use on iOS will be included with it. The secure enclave that's on iOS will be included with it. Video performance will be good because that's built directly into the chip as well. So, you know, there's many things that we don't know at this point on here, but I'm interested to see where the performance comes in, especially on the desktop and how they compare to Intel on that front, because, you know, there's been some talk in the PC world that Intel is losing to AMD yet again. And yeah, they have been. If you look at the performance, unless you're doing something like very...
Really?
Yeah. If you're doing anything except the highest of high-end video editing, AMD beats or exceeds Intel at this point in time on the CPU.
Really?
It really does in the CPUs that have come out in the last year.
But are they still, like, hot boxes that will melt the rest of your computer?
No, they operate at the same TDP as the Intel ones, 95 watts.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, they're a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, unless you need absolute raw core performance, at this point, you pretty much go AMD if you're building, I think. But that's a topic for another time to discuss.
It's changed. I mean, it's only been a few years. It's crazy.
Yeah. And computers that run Apple Silicon, their own chips, will also be able to run iOS and iPad apps natively.
Oh, that's nice.
So, I mean,
They can't do that now?
No.
Really?
No. Because it's Intel versus ARM, so there's no cross compilation there. You can kind of, you know, bring the UI over and then recompile for Intel if you're using their Catalyst framework, which is the framework people use to bring their iPad apps to the Mac, but it's not running that iPad or iOS app natively. And you know what the bright side about this is? Is that people who get one of these Macs, these new ARM-based Macs, when they arrive and they want to play RuneScape, you're going to have a RuneScape client that actually works. And works as well as RuneScape on an iPhone does.
Yeah.
And that's the funniest thing to come out of all this. Is that Mac OS will finally have a RuneScape client that
will work. You get audio and everything? I mean,
the whole shebang.
Wow. Oh, cool.
I was watching this. So I just started laughing because you know how many times I complain about the Mac client on RS, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago. You're like, no sound. Great.
I might need to move to Windows for this. And, you know, that's assuming Jagex decides to make the iOS app available on the Mac App Store, because they would need to tick that box when it arrives. But if they did, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And it would alleviate the concern I have. Well, I better not put that cart before the horse yet about moving to Windows. We'll have to see how the audio system is on these Macs. But
yeah.
it was just one of the most hilarious things that I'd ever seen. So... but yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch this. And one of the fun things about this is that Intel-based applications will continue to work through virtualization and emulation on this. And there's going to be specific toolkits out there for people who want to, you know, run something like Parallels or VMware on the Mac. But the really interesting part about all of this is that these ARM-based chips that Apple is building off of, and you can't just call it ARM. It's appropriate to call it Apple Silicon because they're going to be system-on-a-chip designs, which means the entire system is going to be on one chip. But the really interesting thing about this is that ARM is what is called a reduced instruction set architecture, whereas Intel's x86 and x86-64, what we currently run, is what's called a complicated instruction set architecture, meaning that for every operation that you run on your Intel chip or your AMD chip, for that matter, there's going to be microcode running at the CPU level. And the instructions are just so wide and vast that there's so much going on that chip. Whereas these ARM chips are actually a much simpler design and very much closer to the actual metal themselves. So it's actually a very interesting feat that they're pulling off from this, from the hardware architecture standpoint. And I could go on and on about this, but I think I'll just leave it at that right now on that front. So.
Right on. Well, definitely something we'll have to... keep track of.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to come down to see what the performance looks like on this, because the dev kits that are sent out to the developers at this point are effectively iPad Pros in a Mac Mini enclosure.
Okay.
So an iPad Pro of today shows you just how powerful it is. But,
yeah, sure.
This was a very fun piece of news for me to cover, as you can tell. All right, let's move on to our other things, including the windup of our Agility Skill of the Month, which just ended. Unknown Raptoid won with 2.6 million XP, Ripeth came in second with 1.1, and Casper came in third with 46K. So congratulations on that front.
Nice.
All right. Very cool. Let's run through some achievements.
All right. So let's see. Who do we have this week? Well, we got this Shane guy, this Shane12088 with 99 archaeology on June 24th. Very nice. Way to go, Shane.
We'll talk about that after.
Then we have Peachy XO with 99 mining on June 22nd. We have Chaotic Eric with 99 archaeology on 21st. We have Schwamja, 99 summoning on June 21st. And Lexi 10 with 99 agility on June 20th.
Nicely done. Next up is Nordic Falcon with 99 invention also on the 20th. The Firebro got 99 magic on the 20th. Tim 2 got 120 archaeology, rounding out the 20th. Captain Metaphor got 120 invention on the 19th. Lexi 10, yet again, with 99 hunter. And finally, Idiot on a Stick with 200 million defense XP on June 18th.
Funny Steak.
I know, that's a funny very name, good. Isn't it? All right, what do you got for Pick of the Week?
Pick of the Week. So how can it not be this? The Steam Summer Sale started today. Now, y'all know me. I usually buy at least a few things that I'm never going to play in each sale. Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm sure I will do that again this time. Although, I will say my wish list is really... really dwindled over a year. Not much on it anymore. But yeah, today started the summer Steam sale. It's got the typical like little currency stuff. As you buy things, you earn points and you can cash those in on, you know, like discounts or whatever. I always save mine for the $5 off, essentially. Because do I really care about a badge or this? No. Give me the money. Show me the money. I'll take the discount. But yeah, so this is a great time to pick up something that you've been looking for. You know, at this point, Steam has pretty much whatever you're going to want. Borderlands 3 is back over on Steam. It's available. EA even has games on Steam like Star Wars Fallen Order. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is only $20 right now on this sale. And it's... man, I'm telling you, it's so much better than when it started. I know people still give it crap, but it is a complete, it's a redemption story, much like No Man's Sky. Like, it's an actual good game. But yeah, give it, check it out. There's like, I mean, if you can't find something that you want to buy on sale, then I don't buy any more games, I guess, ever.
All right.
It's got everything for you. I mean, there's this, you know, A lot of great deals.
All right. I'm going to draw a highlight to two of them that I think people should pick up. First one is the Halo Master Chief Collection is on for 20% off. So with that, you get all the Halo games up to Halo 4. So that's Reach, Combat Evolved, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, and Halo 4. Currently, Halo 3 is in beta, but... Reach, Combat Evolved, and Halo 2 are out. So within a few months, you'll get access to 3 ODST and 4. I will have Halo 3 out probably within the next couple weeks or so based on that. But that one's 20% off, so I'd highly recommend you pick that up if you want a good sci-fi-based story game, or if you want a good online shooter game, pick up the Halo Master Chief Collection. And one that we always talk about, and one that was in tech news a few weeks back that I recommend, is Kerbal Space Program. You can pick that one up. That one is currently 75% off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a deep cut.
So those would be fun. The two that I would draw people to. Indeed.
Yeah.
And I mean, with all the SpaceX hype, why not talk about Kerbal Space Program?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
You can build your rocket, launch to space, and bring it back, land on the moon, and so on and so forth. Good fun. All righty. What have we been up to? What have you been up to on RS?
A lot of mobile, a lot of divination, a little bit of archaeology. I'm trying really hard to get up to level 90 on my second account for divination, and we're like stagnating at 84 here. We're almost 85. But it's getting rough. It's getting
Divination rough. Was a bit of a climb like that. You doing your caches?
I haven't done any caches yet.
I know.
It's terrible. I'm playing terribly inefficient, but But it's so nice to just pull my phone out of my pocket and just play RuneScape.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what I've been doing, you know. I'm like, I'll do a little div. Let's a little here, a little there.
Yeah. Okay. As for me, as you can see, 99 archaeology.
Put in work.
Yeah, and I wonder what your friends say about me beating you there, I wonder.
Oh, I come to a round table sometime, you'll probably hear.
Yeah.
I have to turn in my competition card. They won't let me. They retired me.
The main reason I did that, and I actually made an outright push for it last weekend, is because I knew Yak Track was coming out. So I wanted to, let's just focus on Yak Track. And 99, making the push to 99 was a good reason to do that. So I did it. And now with Yak Track, if archaeology comes up, I'll train archaeology. If it's something else, I'll train something else. And I just really wanted to be able to focus on Yak Track and the diversity that provides in the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, way to go, Shane. You put in work on this one, man.
Yeah, I did. And, every time I play it and every time I read some of the lore, it's like, okay, I got to go back and I got to do more. It just keeps me coming back, even all these months later.
I know. It's layered, man. It's so layered.
Yeah. But aside from that, not too much. A couple of Herb runs there and there, but nice to get back into the Yak Track routine. So I don't think I have anything else that I have left to say here. Anything that you want to bring up before we go?
Nope. Stay positive. Keep hope alive. Carry on.
Alrighty. That sounds good to me. And of course, we'll be back next week to discuss all of the PVM changes with the tier 92 armor and the familiars and whatnot. So we'll have a fun discussion on that. But in the meantime, if you want to get this podcast and all of them delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe, because that, of course, also helps ensure that you don't forget to download and don't forget to listen. But it also helps us too, because it helps improve our discoverability. So you can subscribe practically anywhere. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, YouTube, Stitcher, practically anything under the sun. Just visit update.rsbb.com/subscribe and tap your favorite one. And we'll be back next week with another episode of RSBMB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.